Good evening, everybody. Great to be here. Always love lots of music, especially love congregational church music. It's wonderful. Now, tonight we have a little bit of a special theme with this book, and so we don't have any books. I know we have this lovely edition here, but I think we're going to move everybody up to the front as close as we can get. We're going to kind of distribute the books out of it, so those of you in the back, if you just kind of move up a few benches, so we're getting the maximum amount of value out of every page. So, don't you guys just move on forward. David, your role, you come on up. And the rest of you all just move up. We're going to see what we can do here to bring it all together. We don't have enough books. Sad deal.
Thanks. All right, our first song is going to be 811. And maybe would you mind holding the book up so I see where the books are once? Okay? Looks pretty nicely scattered. And everybody feel comfortable with what they can see and the book? Is anybody unable to see anything? Okay. I don't see anybody raising their hands. Okay. All right. An invocation here. Very lovely hymn. Let's all rise to sing this call.
Oh, come ye saints, Lord, for neighbor fear, but with joy wend your way. Though hard to you the journey may appear, faith shall be as your day. Every day, let it not be obscure. Here we can serve the Master on the way, and in Him be secure. Gird up your loins, fresh courage take, we'll never us forsake. And so our song no fear can quell. All is well, all is well. We'll find the rest which God for us prepared, when at last He will call. Afraid, He will reign over all. We will make the air with music ring, shall praise His God, our Lord and King. Oh, how we'll make the chorus swell. All is well.
The Lord, you may be seated. Number 310. The last verse, if anybody knows the descant and wants to sing that descant, risk yourself a little bit. add a lot to this song. And I think we have a lot of different songs we'd like to sing, and it's kind of an introduction to a lot of these. So we're not going to sing every verse of every song, at least for my part. We'll just plan for 3 verses. So on this one, 1, 2, and 4.
Oh, gentle Holy Spirit, bring refreshing breezes. These people gather here today. Promise, Holy Spirit, heavenly waiting hearts, we pray. Resting upon us, Spirit of love, gentle Holy Spirit, quiet now each restless heart to troubled mind, tranquility tender, Holy Spirit, open every heart to hear you speaking quietly. Oh, Holy Spirit, gentle dove, resting upon us, Spirit of love, gentle Holy Spirit, see our spirits long to worship Jesus as we truly are. Gracious Holy Spirit, we would better praise the Father, both in word and thought. Gentle dove, resting upon us, Spirit of love.
Beautiful. Number 27. I plan to just stand on the last verse on this one. Number 27.
Oh, come Christians, join to sing hallelujah, amen. Loud praise to Christ our King, hallelujah.
Forevermore. Hallelujah.
over to you, Steve.
I guess we sang Amen enough times in that song. It's good to be with you tonight. I'm one of those that am a visitor, but also feel somewhat at home in my spirit. So thank you for your welcome. I'm going to share a number of thoughts that I've shared before when some of you were present. So bear with me. Learn again. A number of years ago, I was visiting with Brother Clay Zimmerman. We were sitting in his living room and talking, which we did a lot of. And he made the comment that one of his favorite chapters was Colossians 3, which I'm going to read out of tonight. He said if there was one chapter that simply encapsulates the Christian faith as how what we should believe and how we should act, he thinks he would choose this one chapter. We're glad we don't have just this one chapter. But it is a beautiful chapter, and it is filled with beautiful words and beautiful admonition. I'm going to read a couple verses at a time, and I'm going to give just a few thoughts as I read. If you care to follow along with me, Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1, going through verse 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection not on things above. Excuse me. Set your affection on things above. Please get that right, okay? This print is rather small for me, and the knot jumped up. I struggle with dyslexia a little bit even now. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now there are books that can be written about those four verses. It's just full. But just a few things. Most of you know, or many of you who know me, know that I love the Greek language. And this is a fascinating chapter. And I remember the first time really kind of struggling through this passage and grasping the fact, first of all, there are a number of imperatives. An imperative is a command. Unlike English, Greek has commands in second person, which is you, and also in third person. But these are second person commands, but they're second person plural. And the Apostle Paul clearly connects this with his very first statement, if ye then be risen with Christ. What's striking about the word ye is that it is not one person. It is all of you. All these people, he's writing to the church in Colossians as a congregation, and incidentally, very likely Philemon is hearing these words being read to him. We heard about him this morning. And maybe Onesimus too, and I don't know which was written first, Colossians or Philemon, but Philemon was from Colossae. So he's hearing this too. So if you as a group, as a congregation, if you have been risen with Christ, and the suggestion is that you have been, and then he goes on to say that, what are we supposed to do? You're supposed to set your affection on things above. We heard about that this morning a little bit. Also, not getting it confused with the things in this earth. And there are many ways that we can get tangled up. Set your affection, your love, what you care about as a group, set it on things that are above, where Christ is. We think collectively. He goes on to say, give some more commands about killing those things which are not good and putting on the things that are good. And I love Brother Joe's conclusion to his message this morning. Learning to love the things that God loves and avoiding the things that God hates. That's essentially what Paul is saying here too. I never read this without thinking of a quote or something that my Uncle David said in a message one time here. The old man can be killed on a regular basis, on a daily basis, but it does not stay dead. And the new man can be nourished on a regular or daily basis, but it does not stay alive without that regular nourishment. And we know that. We know that we have to work. We can gain a victory, but that doesn't mean all victories are gained. We can lose a battle. That doesn't mean the war has to be lost either. But so it takes constant work to mortify the flesh and to put on the new man. Now I want to start reading again with verse 14. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the word love, agape. Most of you are familiar with that. Put on agape, which is the bond of perfectness or perfection. It holds us together. It tightens us. It's a bond. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Again, these are all plural yous, you all. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And what will this word do? As it dwells in us, we should be teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching is instruction. Admonishing carries the concept of rebuke as well as encouragement. So it's not just all happy roses, but loving rebuke, of course. And how are we to do this? By singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There have been, and even in our beloved Anabaptist tradition, the thought that in your hearts maybe we shouldn't actually sing with our voices. I don't think the apostle is saying that, but it does need to come from the heart. It should be genuine. So, singing in your heart, with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks by God to God and the Father by Him. I love that thought, that the singing, as we sing together, we are seeking those things which are above together. We're seeking that infusion of grace. There are so many things that are connected, commands that are connected with this. To put off the old man, to put on the new man, to forgive each other. It says that earlier. To seek those things. To put on love. There's another one. To fill ourselves with the word of Christ. And the other one is let the peace of God rule our hearts. We are troubled with many things. There are many anxieties and issues that face us. But let that peace of God rule our hearts for this moment. Make it a path, a light forward for that. And so those are the things we want to do as we sing together this evening. I'm going to lead in one song as sort of a conclusion to this, but maybe I'll ask you to stand for prayer first. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this group. Thank you for these loving hearts that are here. Thank you for your love. We want to pray the Spirit of Christ in each one of us, in our voices and in our hearts. Help us to sing with genuine love in our heart. Help us to put aside those petty things that we want to look after in the world, that attract us, that keep us from the beauty and glory and power that's in you. Forgive us because we're so easily entangled and distracted. Help us to love each other, and help that love for you and for each other to be reflected in our singing this evening. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please remain standing, if you don't mind. I would like to sing song number 175. A favorite song from mine. I love this hymnal. I love this selection. I love the work of love that this book is. And there are many songs in here that I've really grown to appreciate. And this is one, of course, that I've known for a long time. And at least some of you, I'm trying to remember if it was in the last school program that we had that we sang this song. What is this thing actually working? Sure enough. It will descend upon my head if I'm not careful. A faithful shepherd is my Lord. As we think about God going with us in the coming weeks. We'll wait for this to come down. I'm not sure who's running that, but thank you. Okay, we will try not to run it, to sing it too fast. I'm safe. All right, you mind.
A faithful shepherd is my Lord, who shall great plenty be afford, who leadeth me to pastures green, leads me to drink from waters unseen. A faithful shepherd is my Lord.
Good evening. Thank you, Steve, for sharing that. Really appreciate it. It is true. There's so much there in Colossians 3. More than it seems like we can, probably more than we can apply all at one time, but we can strive also. One thing it mentioned in there, and if you want to turn to song number 691, it mentioned about being thankful. And you know, God's people are a thankful people, regardless of the circumstances they find themselves in. There's always something to be thankful for, and that's what this song talks about. And I should ask maybe how many of you know it? Oh, okay. 691, thanks to God for my Redeemer. Is it up? Oh, no. Maybe it's not back there. Is that one of the ones it's not in? Oh. Okay. Well, maybe we shouldn't try it then. Let's see. Raise your books again, if you would. I want to see how many there are. Okay. I think we can try it. All right. Hey, we can always stop if we don't get very far. After this song, then the children can come forward and stand up here in the front, and Marcia will lead you in some songs. All right, 691.
Thanks to God, O my Redeemer, thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for time, now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for
sings a little bit high. Let's see here.
Thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for
number 371 will be our next hymn. And thank you, Aunt Marcia and your children, for singing so well. Your grandpa used to do something that he would call picking your brains, which I have a visual memory and just or mind, and immediately this little pick would, the thought of that coming into my brain always bothered me. But so pick your brains here a little bit tonight. Joe mentioned something else this morning while we were worshiping, and he talked about money and the fact that you can make money, and he said you reach a point where there is what?
When you have enough.
When you have enough. And then what did he say then? Anyone remember? Pardon me? Okay. Yeah, he said that essentially you must become a channel for the blessings that are in your life. So, looking around this beautiful auditorium, and I look at all these wonderful people, I wonder if you recognize the wealth that's in your minds right now. The fact that you can just pick up songs and you sing beautifully. Where does that start? Where does it start? And this community is special, maybe. Maybe it's what anybody, maybe it's what any community could do, but not every community has done. I'm sure we're all familiar with the statement, it takes a village to raise a child, are we not? Everybody raise your hand if you've heard that. So if you could just kind of think about that a little bit. Think about that cycle of life where you start to learn to sing when you're young. You sing up here, and after a while you sing in school. You have these beautiful programs, and then you sing in chorus. Maybe you quit singing in chorus, and are you done then? How many of you that have quit singing in chorus still feel like you have an investment in chorus? I'm a long ways away. I still feel like I have an investment in chorus. Who of you is sending your children to chorus practice? Expect them to learn and go through school, and eventually, enough is enough, isn't it? Kind of. Where you have got to start expressing these blessings in your life. Now, my question is, if you sing in school and you sing in church and you sing in chorus and you don't sing on the job, is that making the circle? So ultimately, our singing is to worship God, isn't it? From the time that the children are up here having school programs, I think it's very essential that they realize this isn't even about them necessarily. And it can take kind of that stage fright away a little bit. If you realize that, you know what, this isn't about me failing or succeeding. It's about actually learning to praise God when you're 8 or 9. And here's an interesting observation from having been gone for a while and gone to a church that they didn't have a lot of special singing. There are two things I learned. One is that, well, you learn to work on your congregational music, and it is special, even if you don't have a lot of groups. So, with that being said, there was also a setback, just like almost everything. And that is that when they would have programs, instead of just being a worship experience and part of church, it was kind of like a performance. Stress was way up there. And you know what? It's a blessing that you can get up and you sing, and your parents and your grandparents are out there. And it should be always given with such humility. And I think that when there is humility, we just say it like that, when there is humility, God is glorified. So, to say, especially in our music, it must never reach the competitive level or the comparison level, but always praising, always. And after this song, we're going to have, I'll just say one more thing. When you have that lovely environment where people are trained, good things happen. And we've got this lovely quartet where Andy and Joseph and Matt and Mark, I think, are the components in there. They're going to sing after this. Well, now I lost my train of thought. Oh, well, whatever. They'll come up after this. 371. This also goes along with our message this morning. So there will be a little bit of retarding going on in this, in the timing here. It's not to throw you off, it's to interpret the song. So kind of keep your eyes up here and see, we've got it up here. So Just watch it. I'm not wanting to make a fool out of anybody, especially me. We're just going to slow it way down. There's going to be some stops here and there, so just be ready.
If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray,
was requested that we sing tonight, and so we don't want to sing songs you're tired of, but we do want to glorify God in the songs we sing. So, well, I just made a copy.
bending, poor Cedar stands a-trembling. The trumpet sounds,
the trumpet sounds,
the trumpet sounds, the trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay. Last night when I was lonely, I looked up at the sky. The stars looked like notes in the air, like a mighty piece of music, and by God's own hand, written for a choir way up there. I heard the angels sing, glory, hallelujah, a mighty chorus way up high. I heard the angels sing, praise the name of Jesus, singing in God's choir in the sky. I heard a thousand trumpets sounding out his glory,
telling the story how he came to earth to die. I heard a million voices praise the name of Jesus, singing in God's choir in the sky. I heard a glorious song coming out of heaven, the sweetest music ever heard. I heard a mighty song sung by all the angels. My soul thrilled at every loving word. I fell down on my knees when that chorus ended. They shouted out a glad amen. I fell down on my knees, prayed that when in heaven I would hear that choir once again. I heard a thousand trumpets sounding out his glory, telling the story how he came to earth to die. I heard a million voices praise the name of Jesus, singing in God's choir in the sky.
That was just beautiful, man. Very nice. Number 805 is our next one, and we'll sing one song, and then, let's see, I think the youth ladies are singing. Is that correct? Maybe. Good. All right, 805. Let's maybe explain this song a little bit until they get that thing tuned up back there. The song is Master, the Tempest is Raging. A little bit of an allegory, which we probably all can think of allegorical songs, but the fact of Jesus calming the storms means a lot more than just the physical storms, but there's just some terrible battles that rage in our own hearts. Okay, and maybe another little introduction on this one. Chorus has a lot of interpretive ebb and flow, so just, I guess, pay attention here and probably, especially on the last verse on the chorus, might have a break or two in there. So you might want to be watching. Probably hang on here 1 second.
Oh, Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so badly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep? The winds and the waves shall obey. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or man, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Oh, hate and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul. And I perish, dear Master, oh, hasten and take a it be, no water can swallow. Sheep, where lies the Master? Ocean and earth and sky, they all shall sweetly obey my tear. Peace, peace, dear. Peace, peace, dear. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, 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 dear.
Just all stand on this last verse and you see the complete release of tension all of a sudden on the text and everything. Last verse.
Master, the terror is over, the elements sweetly rest. Her son in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more, and with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore.
The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace, peace,
peace,
peace, peace,
peace,
peace,
peace, whether the
wrath of the
storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be,
no water can swallow
the ship where lies the Master, ocean and earth.
Seated.
Good evening. We are singing two songs tonight, Days of Elijah, which was requested by Brother James for us to sing, and The Summons, which is a song that we sang in Bible school and means an awful lot to me. It says, it is a call from Jesus asking us if we are willing to follow him, and that is just our desire as girls, that that we can just all follow Christ like this song asks us to, and that we can all meet in heaven.
Where you go, where you don't know and never be.
Thank you, sisters, for sharing that. It was beautiful. Keep singing. And also, I'd just like to express my appreciation to Steve for sharing again for the devotional, and also Brian for being willing to help out in organizing this. It brings back a lot of memories to have you here again, and a lot of good memories. And I know that you've taken your love for singing with you. I know that. And I appreciate you sharing that here once again. God bless you. All right, let's sing number 446. And that is We Are Bound for Canaan Land. All right, I'm assuming everybody knows this song. Men often sing it, but now it's a chance for everybody to sing it. All right, We Are Bound for Canaan Land.
We are bound for Canaan land, tempting by the way. Who shall lead us on the road? Choose your king today. Dare to stand like Joshua. Say the word. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord.
Verse 3.
When the dark Red Sea of doubt billowed on our way, then he parted.
Said that, and actually I have three of them quickly, and we won't sing all of them. Well, now I don't remember which one they are. Better get mine. 727 is our first one. That's right, I remember that now. And this, we're not going to sing all these verses, but it's an invitation hymn, and you know. I remember sitting right up here when Just As I Am would be sung over and over and over, and I found out when I taught school in Canada that the youngsters just hated that song, couldn't stand it. And I remember being a little edgy too, you know, it kind of puts me under pressure, but I love that song. And part of the reason I love it is because it is just, it's just me and God, actually, in the final days here, it's just us two. For you in the back here, let's see. I'm going to just give you another word, another number you can look up here. JKLMNOPQRST. Mm-hmm. Anyone see the song in the back? There's a line that is drawn.
946.
Thanks. So it's 946 if you feel like getting that around, Kevin, back there. Okay, this song may look unfamiliar, but it's pretty familiar probably to most of us.
sing the first and last verse here.
Come hither, all ye weary souls, ye heavy laden sinners, come, I'll give you rest from all your toils and raise you to my heavenly home.
Verse 4.
Jesus, we
number 946. Number 946, in case the song doesn't come up, it's an easy, familiar song that you remember probably. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of his spirit is lost, and you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted the cost? We'll sing one verse.
There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of his spirit is lost, and you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted?
Number 828, very short song, and it just, think of so many musical exercises in my life that were ended with us praying the Lord's Prayer together, and so that's a little bit symbolic here tonight, that as we draw the congregational singing down and prepare for the chorus to sing, we'll sing this the Lord's Prayer. Maybe on the last verse, chorus, you just come on up.
Our Father in heaven, we hallow thy name. May thy kingdom, holy on earth, be the same.
been great to be here tonight. We've got a few Easter songs to sing.
Christ who left his home in glory and upon the cross was slain, now is risen to tell the story that the Savior lives again.
Sweet sound, sweet sound from the